All right. Well, let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your love for us, your care for us, the compassion that you have toward us, so much compassion that you are willing to give your own son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we, through faith, could have an eternal relationship with you, to be saved from the wrath that's going to be poured out on sin, to be eternally with you in heaven. And Lord, many of the things that I've just communicated, that we've just communicated to you in prayer, we only know because you've told us the future. You've told us things about our future. And Lord, as we go through this study and look at some of those items, not just heaven, not just your judgment upon sin, but Lord, items that you have planned from a long time ago concerning the outcome of this world, the outcome of us. Lord, we want to thank you for it. And we ask you, Lord, for just your teaching. We pray that you would give us understanding. We pray the things that we learned through the study would enable us to be benefited right here and now, even though they are yet future for us. So, Lord, just teach us tonight. Thank you for our time. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. All right. Well, welcome to our first Wednesday evening Bible study of this fall season. And as most of you already know, we are going to be working our way through an end time study, and a great deal of it will be chronological. But I will just tell you, I'm several lessons prepared into this already. And it's like I said, for the 12-year-olds, if you're here and you're willing to listen to what God's word has to say, this is going to be a really, really exciting and fascinating study. So I'm glad you're here tonight. And just out of curiosity, I'll just start off with a couple questions. If you could know the future, would you want to?
Yeah.
All right. I'm hearing both yeses and I'm hearing noes. So here's my next question. What are some things that you would not want to know about your future?
When you die.
When you die. Okay. The very day. Okay, that would be one I think I wouldn't want to know. Okay, and that's what Amelia was saying too. And I think that would even be harder on me than knowing my own death date.
I don't know where I'm going, but it's those that I don't think they're safe.
Okay, okay, all right, all right, all right. What else wouldn't you want to know?
If my folks are going to be going up with the rapture.
Okay.
My dogs.
I think we need to close those doors. Wow. That just came right on through there, those open doors. Okay. What are some things you'd like to know?
Will there be music?
Will there be music? All right. I'm pretty certain there will be music. Jeff. Okay, about the future. That's a really good one. Okay,
and when you're witnessing to them, is it going to take hold?
Okay. All right.
I would love to know.
What could there be a danger in that too, though?
Of course. At any time.
Complacency, maybe. Well, I know they're going to do it, so I wait. Right, Noah.
What am I getting for my birthday?
What are you getting for your birthday? That might be the best one yet. Yeah, if I could know the future, that would definitely be a good one to know.
But if we know the future and we have free will, can't that change it sometimes?
Here's the best answer to that. You and I don't know the future, and we do have free will, so. But I'm just asking hypothetically, what things would you want to know about? Okay? Birthday presents. These are all good answers. Anything else come to mind, Bonnie?
Well, we're supposed to not remember the earth and our life before. So then we wouldn't remember our parents?
I don't know.
Because in one place it said that we will forget the world.
Okay. We'll have to delve into that a little deeper. I don't know the passage you're talking about. Amy?
I'd like to come to the future leaders of America.
Okay, who the future leaders? Okay, all right, that's right. Okay. Amelia?
Mine's going to be a little weird. I'm an animal person. I want to know if my past pets are going to be there.
If you're what?
Past
pets, okay. All right, if they're going to be in heaven, all right, okay. All right.
We don't have a soul, so it's like,
That's something you'd want to know, but that is something he specifically doesn't tell us. All right, good. Anything else come to mind? All right, I just wanted to get thinking about the future. This study is gonna center on Bible prophecy. What is prophecy?
Prediction.
Okay, the prediction of the future.
Yeah.
Okay, the foretelling. Is that the only way the word prophecy is used in Scripture? Okay, to actually foretell, right? To tell something perhaps that we already do know. And every Sunday, okay, my goal is to foretell what God has already given us. So two kinds of prophecy. There's the foretelling, that is proclaiming of a truth that may or may not be new information, because the prophets of old, even though they were foretelling, they were also foretelling. And that is the proclaiming of the future, something revealed that will happen yet from this time. That is what this end time study is going to cover. We get to find out some things, really, about our future and the world's future. There are things about the future of the world that God has indeed revealed to us in the Bible. So as we go through this end time study, we're going to see that God has revealed things about our future, the future of the world. And here's the big point, I guess, I want to make for today. I'm going to start with it. I'm going to end with it. But here it is. The reason that God does tell us the things that he does tell us about the future is for a better life right now. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And I'll just tell you right now, while we will be spending a pretty good amount of time in this book of the Bible, this study that we're doing isn't going to be just a Revelation study. We're gonna be all over the place with this. But in Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed is he who reads and blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." So what exactly is that telling us? Okay, right. The time is getting near. Amelia, what'd you say?
It's a promise of a blessing.
It is. It's the promise of a blessing. In fact, maybe you knew this already, but Revelation is the only book in the entire Bible that promises a blessing to the person who is willing to study it, to study the prophecies that are contained in it. What else do we learn from this passage? Okay. All right.
So that means he the word.
What is our duty here? Oh, Betty, what did you have? Okay, the time is near. We definitely learned that the time is near. And this is the Apostle John writing this about 1900 years ago. Okay? So it's certainly nearer now than it was then, right? Jesse. Okay. 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 All right. John. All right. With it, share it. Okay. In fact, I actually think that one of the blessings that comes from a study of not only this prophecy, but all prophecy, is a kind of a sense of urgency in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. All right? And I think it develops in us a sense of urgency to do that. What I was going to point out, and Jesse touched on this, he talked about reading it, but it also, and maybe some translations read a little bit different, but does yours say who hear the words? Read and hear? Okay. And I think John was kind of touching on that too, because we have to share it for other people to hear it. But I think even on a more personal level, it's not just about reading the words, because I got to tell you, even when I was in Bible school, we had some reading assignments, and I read a lot of words and a lot of pages. I have no idea what they said. No idea what they said. Just because I was just reading it was an assignment. Well, what we're learning here is, blessed is he who reads and those who hear, taking into their mind what we're reading. What was that, Charles? Okay, that's right. That's right. That's right. Apply it to our lives. And then it goes on to say to keep those things. And I think that's where the application comes in. We read them, we hear them, and then apply them to our lives. All right. So anyway, good answers. God knows the beginning and the end, and there are many portions of Scripture that describe future events. There is Scripture in the Old Testament that describes events future from that time that actually have been fulfilled since that time. But also there is Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament that describe things that just have not happened yet. They are yet future, even from our point right now. And we're actually promised by God that if we will take the time to hear and learn about those things, it will benefit, bless our lives right now. And that's why it's important, I think really important, that the church, the body of believers, take time and look at these things, even corporately, so that we can read it together, hear it together, apply it together. And I'll just tell you, one of the books that I was reading, and I think I kind of already knew this fact, but he pointed out that there are many, many local churches that neglect or even avoid this topic completely. There are many mega churches that avoid this topic completely. There are Bible colleges that avoid this topic completely. In fact, I was talking to someone just a few weeks ago, and I was told, not by them, but about them, that they skipped church one Sunday specifically because they knew that they were going to be talking about prophecy. They came to a passage about prophecy. So he said, all right, I'm not going that Sunday. So here's what I would like to do, just by way of introduction tonight, and that's all we're going to do is kind of introduce this topic. I want to answer two questions about end times prophecy. And the first one is this: why is end times prophecy so neglected in the church today? What do you think, Bill?
I think a lot of it is controversial because, you know, one person may apply it this way and another person may apply it. You might hear someone on TV preach, you know, a certain part of scripture on prophecy one way, and then you would preach it another way.
Okay.
It's very controversial, but what surprises me about it all is that about 25% of the Bible is made up of prophecy, and men do not want to teach it.
For sure, yeah. That's a big chunk of the Bible to not preach, isn't it? For sure. Kathy?
I think it scares people, and I think the churches that do the feel-good, only going there and you have to be feeling good, they'll totally stay away from it. But I think
okay.
It scares people.
Okay, it's scary. Jeff?
A lot of it deals with judgment, and people don't want to hear that. And it's finite. The Revelation really says that this is real, and this is going to happen.
Right.
It's final.
Yep. Remind me your name. I keep... Loretta. Okay.
I think in these times, because God has been taken out of so many things, that a lot of churches don't want to get into prophecy for fear of...
Okay. No, I think that actually, I think that touches on what Jeff and Bill said, is that it is controversial, and it does deal directly with sin, and people just want to get along, right? They just want to get along. Let's just agree or compromise. Did I see a hand over here, Christina?
I think that a lot of times they don't preach it because they don't want to lose the people.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. They don't want to preach it because they could lose people over it. Okay. I hope that doesn't happen. I didn't know that. Gladys. See, now you're answering my second question. We're on the first question right now. That is very true, and that is one of the answers to why it's needed in the church, for sure.
It's hard work. You have to study. It's not something that's just silly poo-poo and poopy. You have to get in depth. There's obviously we're going to be getting in depth, but you actually have to pay attention. You can't just wander off and...
For sure. Yep. Diane. Okay, they don't want to be wrong. They want to be. You say they want to be sure.
They aren't sure.
Yep. Okay. And I will tell you that as we get through this, I do have a position that, you know, on a lot of these things that I'm going to follow along, but we will be touching on those other positions because they're valid. There are some good arguments out there. But yes, go ahead, Melissa.
Some people just don't believe that it applies to them. Therefore, they just...
Okay. And they're going to be in for a rude awakening someday when they do find out it applies. Charles? Yeah. He was calling them out in some of these areas. That's right.
Sheila.
I think people have trouble with symbolism.
With the symbolism. Okay, okay. Good, good one. Bill?
A lot of people, when you talk about prophecy, they automatically think about the book of Revelation. But, you know, Revelation, if that's all you look at, you will be so totally confused. Mm-hmm. And you have to go back and learn the minor prophets, because, you know, from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 21, the Bible's, you know, there's so many prophetic books, and you have to learn and understand what they are saying to be able to relate that to, you know, the final end times.
I agree fully. I believe that the book of Revelation can be well interpreted through Old Testament prophecies, because a lot of that symbolism is explained in the Old Testament. Amelia.
For me personally, I didn't read Revelation because I was scared of death, because I knew where I was going. So I didn't want to be reminded. And I think a lot of it.
Okay. Died. Okay. All right. All great answers. And I think I can fit just about all of them into the three categories I had, okay? But let me just give you these, because I think they do cover probably most of what was said here tonight. Three main reasons I believe it's neglected. Number one, end times prophecy is supernatural. It's supernatural. The prediction of the future is a supernatural phenomenon. We live in a world today that is very skeptical of anything supernatural. And I think there are two reasons for that, okay? I believe that supernatural happenings are a bit different today than what we read in a lot of biblical passages. When was the last time you heard about the Red Sea being parted? Right? It was when Moses did it, or the Jordan River. I think there's absolutely no doubt. I believe God still works miracles, and I think he does incredible miracles, but I think that they were a bit more subtle, or they are a bit more subtle now than they were in Bible times. In fact, virtually, and we're going to talk about this more as we progress, but virtually every time God performed supernatural works in the Bible, it was specifically to authenticate some kind of new revelation that he was giving his people. He accompanied that revelation with signs that they would say, oh, that absolutely has to be from God. And today we have God's word completed. And again, while I do believe that God is a God of miracles and he does some incredible, miraculous things today, I think they are considerably more subtle than a lot of the things that we read in Scripture, and it's for that reason. And because God works a bit more subtly today, there are many that doubt God ever worked supernaturally. They read the scriptures about the parting of the Red Sea, or they read scriptures about the judgment bowls that are going to come on the world, and they say, it's just hypothetical. It's just an analogy, okay? It's just, worse yet, they might even say it's fiction, okay? So anyway, for that reason, I think end times prophecy being supernatural is one reason why it's somewhat neglected today. Along those same lines, I also believe that Satan has given the supernatural a bad name. There are two sources of the supernatural in the world today. There's those things of God, and there are those things of the devil. And the devil has used supernatural things to deceive people. He's going to do it again, okay? And for that reason,
He has used it to deceive people. He's used it to dilute reality. He's even used the supernatural to cause people to doubt God. In fact, I believe one of the devil's greatest, one of his greatest tactics in the blinding of people is through the disbelief in the supernatural. Okay, he actually can blind people to the fact that supernatural things can and do happen. Well, the prediction of the future is a supernatural phenomenon. And then couple that with the supernatural events that are predicted to happen, we're going to see some pretty incredible things. But people who only see a very natural world don't want to believe that supernatural events are coming. That's one reason it has become neglected in the church. I think another reason is end times prophecy, and I think this was mentioned. I think it was Lauren that mentioned it. It's sophisticated. It's complex. It's intricate. It's difficult to study out. And I think that might be one reason why verse 3 of chapter 1 in Revelation says, you know, if you'll do it though, I'll bless you. You will benefit from this. If you dig deep, if you search for those nuggets of gold that I have here for you, it will bless your life. But it is sophisticated, meaning it's complex, it's intricate, it requires a good amount of observation and study and understanding to see just how it all so perfectly fits together. And I got to tell you, I've done a study like this once before. I've been through numerous classes, but even as I'm just a few lessons into this one, I want to call it a tapestry. Okay, just an interconnection of scriptures from opposite ends of the Bible that are woven so perfectly together. The problem is we're lazy by nature. Okay, and end times prophecy is sophisticated. All right, and because it's sophisticated and because we're lazy, it's neglected in the church. When I was 15 years old, I had a motorcycle that I rode around all over the place. And it came to a point where there was a part that had broken inside of it. It still ran, but this part really needed to be replaced. So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear into this engine, rebuild it, have just like a brand new motorcycle when I'm done. Well, I started taking it apart, and as I pulled covers off and spring shot across the garage floor and got this thing completely dismantled, I decided, you know, I really don't need to put this thing back together. And I ended up, I think, giving it away a few years later in a pile. All right. But that was my first experience with an engine. I can't even call it a rebuild because it was just a dismantle, all right? But 2 years later, I gave that motorcycle away. Now, I have since rebuilt several motors. My dad was an excellent mechanic. He was a great teacher, and I've used manuals even to do some work. So had I just taken the time back then when I was 15 to really observe, really study out what I was doing and understand, and maybe even allowed someone to come alongside me that had experience and guide me through it, okay? Had I not been lazy, I actually probably could have sold that bike as a unit rather than giving it away in a pile. Well, I tell you that story because end times prophecy, it is sophisticated. Sometimes we find something and wonder, where'd that come from? All right, or how does that fit? But God has not only given us an instruction manual to go by, all right, but he's given us a teacher, a guide, someone that can help us through and understand many of these things. I'm talking, of course, about the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to find, even so, with the instruction manual and even with a teacher and a guide, we are going to find some things that are going to be difficult to understand. There are things that we won't quite be able to wrap our minds around, but we're also going to see that really it's not about perfect understanding, all right? It's about perfect trust in God and seeing what he has said, seeing in many cases the fulfillment already, seeing what he's saying about our future, and trusting that even though we don't fully understand all of the details of it, we can trust God that what he is telling us is going to happen. All right? Just because I have rebuilt an engine doesn't mean that I have perfect understanding of every part of an internal combustion engine. But if I take the information that I'm given and apply it properly, it will work. It will work. And so it is with end times prophecy. Even though it's sophisticated, even though we may not understand every aspect of it, it will work. It will benefit us, is what I mean. The last reason that I think end times prophecy is neglected is end times prophecy is squandered. What do you think I mean by that? Okay, they don't pay attention to it. They just give it little attention. All right, okay. That would be one way. Okay. Okay, John? What's that?
Hidden.
I'll explain that a little bit. Oh, okay, okay, all right. So, just kind of cheapen it a little bit. Okay, all right. Anyone else? Betty?
In those lines, too, the Apostle Paul many times keeps referring to prophecy and what's happening in the future as a mystery.
Okay, as a mystery. All right, okay. Dave?
I think some people just take the approach, I'm not going to be there, so what does it matter?
Okay. I'm not going to be there, so it doesn't matter. Connie?
People are afraid of it because it's too confusing for them.
Okay, afraid of it because it's too confusing. All right, maybe I need to look up the definition of squandered. But because I had something else in mind. Those are all good answers, okay? But here's kind of... Oh, go ahead, Amelia. Okay.
It's taking it for granted.
All right, taking the word of God for granted. Okay. Anyone else? Audrey?
Well, just like you were saying on squandered, it sounds like you're suggesting that the Book of Revelation is wasted.
Okay. And that's a little closer to where I was going, because there are a few different definitions of the word squandered, and I did look it up, okay? But go ahead, Jeff.
Well, we read, it says to read those things and apply everything else to squander. It means it was there for a benefit. The whole Bible is there to know the heart of God and get closer to God. If we don't read it, we're squandering an opportunity.
Okay. All right. I think this is kind of my fault. I'm using probably not the best word for this, all right? But here's what I'm talking about. Ironically, some of the strongest believers in end times prophecy have done the most damage to it. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. There are those that are constantly trying to make current events fit into the prophecy of God's word, claiming that such and such is a fulfillment of such and such a prophecy, meaning the end is right around the corner, some even making predictions of a date and time. In other words, and I guess where I was trying to fit that squandered word is they're kind of capitalizing on it, and to the degree that nobody believes it anymore. Nobody wants to believe it. And they've kind of, they're so intense about wanting to know it perfectly that they're making other people not care about it at all. Okay? Did you know that the world was supposed to end on April 23rd of this past year? Did you know that? Okay, April 23rd, it was supposed to end. David Meade picked that day because it didn't happen when he first predicted on September 23rd of 2017. Okay? John Hagee wrongly predicted April of 2014. Harold Camping wrongly predicted May of 2011 and then October of 2011. Pat Robertson wrongly predicted April of 2007. And really, the list of wrong predictions, it goes on and on and on. You've heard the story of the little boy who cried wolf, right? All right, it got to the point where nobody believed him anymore. And when he really, really met, all right, it was cheap. Nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 24. If you're in Matthew chapter 24, this actually is a passage that we're going to look at in quite a bit more detail in weeks to come. But for right now, just look at verses 35 and 36. And I would almost guarantee that most everybody here has heard this passage before. But this is something that we need to understand so that we don't get caught up in that squandering of Bible prophecy. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." But of that day, and he's talking about the passing away of the heavens and the earth, he says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And somehow, I don't know how, but David Meade figured out. Right? We don't know when. But what the study is about is we know what. We can know what. God does reveal a lot of that to us. Well, because end times prophecy has been squandered like that so many times, there are those who just don't want to hear about it anymore. And that fellow that I talked about a little while ago actually skipped a Sunday morning because prophecy was going to be talked about. Okay, that was him. I just don't even want to hear about it anymore. Don't even want to hear about it anymore. And that is a sad state of affairs because what God has communicated concerning the end times is very important. It's very beneficial. And while we can't know when it will happen, it's beneficial that we know what is going to happen. And that is what God's word focuses on communicating to us, which leads us to our second question. Why is end times prophecy so needed in the church today? What do you think?
People have to know they've got to get ready.
Okay. Okay. People have to know what's coming, for sure. Christina?
And I think it gives people hope. You know, like someone said, you know, well, I'm not going there. But, you know, after you read that book, you don't want to go there.
Right, right. Okay. So it gives people hope. It gives us hope. And we'll talk about that in a second. So hope is a very key one.
Faith.
Okay, faith, just building our trust in God. And certainly as we look at prophecies that God spoke in the Old Testament that have already been fulfilled, we can know that the ones that have not yet been fulfilled will be. We can trust God that it will. Amelia. Okay.
And so when you look at Jesus, so like if he loves people, then why are there starving children in China or Africa or whatever? You know, why is there pain in this world? And they look at Revelation and it says there's God's wrath right there.
Right.
That's his wrath being poured out on sin. Because that's the result of sin. It's his character is a reciprocation of sin. And so for us to read it, it's almost awe-inspiring, fear.
Okay, all right.
That other characteristic of God, like the table flipping Jesus type, you know, that
okay.
Anger.
The just God.
We need to see that because he's not just loving. He's not only just loving, but he is also very angry, fully angry. And we need to know that.
And the thing about that, too, is it is his wrath he's pouring out. But he's pouring it out as a result of his justice. And the thing about his justice, as justice is, it's fair. It's exactly right.
To me, it's comfort and peace because knowing that God is in control.
Okay.
You see all that because look what's going on with us today. It's like we get so upset and then you have to just step back and go, he's in control. It's all planned out. All part of the plan. And so you just kind of get a piece of comfort and say, okay, Lord, do your thing.
Right, right. Very good. Yep. God is in control. Lauren.
I think it's important for the church because it challenges the church. The difference, I believe the seven churches are addressed in Revelation, specifically, not just those churches, but every church that's either one of those or a combination of those. And to be challenged is probably why the book of Revelation is so uncomfortable.
Okay.
To people off is because it does challenge, whether it's challenging by saying we're not matching up to where we should be, or maybe it reveals some sin in our own lives or what we're not doing, or maybe we're not ready, or we're witnessing to others like we should be. It challenges the church. And
okay. It challenges the church, and I'm going to ask you generally, just in a real general answer, we'll see where you go with this. What does it challenge the church to do?
Commission.
Yeah. Okay. Commission would be one, but even maybe a little bit more general than that.
Just get back to its first love.
And what's the first love?
Jesus.
Christ likeness. That's the challenge. That's the whole point of all the epistles is Christ likeness. And certainly reading about the wrath of God, reading about the love of God, knowing that he is in control, knowing that he cares, these are all things that are Christ-like. Okay? And as we read that, it's an encouragement to us to be the same right now. Anything else come to mind? Bill?
I learned one thing a long time ago, that not only we as a body of believers believe and realize that we are living in the end times, there are a lot of unbelievers who believe the same thing, that we are in the end
times. Yeah, yeah.
And it scares them to death. I had the opportunity years ago, I worked for a company where
back when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and war broke out. And people wanted to know, is this the war to end all wars? And I was afforded the opportunity, the company I worked for, to teach a Wednesday night Bible study at work on end times prophecy.
Okay.
People were scared. And I believe it's our responsibility to know what it says in here that we can tell them out there what's
okay.
going on.
Okay.
And maybe you might lead some to Christ, maybe not.
For sure.
You know, these are the ones we're trying to reach.
It goes back to that sense of urgency we were talking about earlier. Okay. Great. I've got six reasons that I'm going to give you. I'm only going to get through one of them tonight. But why is end times prophecy so needed in the church today? All really good answers that you've given. In fact, I think you've pretty much covered the six that I'm going to give back to you now. But let me just start with this one, and then we'll be done for the night. Number one is I think it's needed in the church today to correct controversy. Okay, we talked about that controversy, and we're not just talking about really different positions on certain things, but controversy even to whether it's really going to happen or not. Okay. Now, while there are some varying views on what God says concerning the future, and that is to be expected, we can't think and know everything that God thinks and knows. However, there are a lot of wrong ideas in the world. And one of the reasons that we're given this is so that we can share what God is saying here. Okay? There's ideas out there about how precise the timing will be. Ideas that are contrary to God's nature, saying, well, God is only loving. Well, God is love, but he is just too, okay? Wrong ideas that really distract people from God's purpose. They even distract people from knowing Jesus Christ. They distract people from seeing clearly what God says in his word. So we need to correct controversy. All right, I'm going to give you one more here. I'm going to give you one more, and then I think I've fit one more in these last few minutes. The first one is it's needed to correct controversy. The second one is it reminds us that God is in control. It reminds us that God is in control. In a world that we live in that seems completely chaotic sometimes, nations that seem to be completely and utterly in the grip of evil, it's important for us to understand that no matter how bad things may seem, God is in complete control. Nothing happens, nothing at all happens that he has not either sovereignly allowed or appointed. Have you heard the idiom, it's like a drop in a bucket? You heard that? Okay, what does it mean? Okay, it's just insignificant, right? In the grand scheme of things, it means nothing. Did you know that's from the Bible? No? All right, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 10 to start with. It says there, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him." So, kind of just getting some context. Now look at verse 15. First one talked about how strong God is, right? Here's verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. I think I missed something in verse 10. Did I? His word is with him. Okay. Yeah, no, I know what I did. All right, there's more to it. I'm just referring to it. Okay, here's what I want to tell you. Earlier, in earlier verses, and perhaps we should have read them, but I don't even know if I could find them right now. But earlier verses know that it says that God has measured the oceans in his hands. All right. And it goes on and it says, he's weighed the earth in the scales. You have the verse? Maybe that's what it... All right. I just didn't read far enough there. Yeah. Okay. I knew it was there. For some reason, I didn't put the reference down in my notes here. Okay. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured the heaven with the span of, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance. So, in these verses, he talks about this, and then in verse 15, as he's measured the oceans in his hand, he says that the strength of the earth, the evil in the earth, the nations and all of their power would be equivalent to a drop in a bucket. They would be equivalent to a speck of dust on the scales that he just used to measure all of the earth. That's insignificant. When you look at that from that picture, and how powerful and his strong arm is. What's going on in this world today? Don't worry. God's in control. He's got this. He's got this. We are told through end times prophecy that there will come a day when God will display his power and vanquish the evil that seems so powerful right now. And this kind of prophecy, that kind of prophecy, reminds us that God is indeed in control. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Just know this. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you win. You win. Okay? And that's where we're going to end for tonight. We do have a few more minutes, so if there are any comments that you would like to make or any questions that you have, this time is yours. Gary. Okay, thanks for helping me use that word. All right. So we don't squander the time that we have left. Very good. Charles. At 12 o'clock, there'll be another day. I hate to break it to you, Charles, but that's not a prophecy. Anyone else? That is the truth, right? All right, let's close in prayer then. Father in heaven, we are very grateful that you have given us the word that you have given us. We thank you for the reminder today that prophecy makes up about a quarter of the truth that you have given us, and that makes it very, very important to us. So I thank you for this time. I thank you for those that have come out. And Father, my hat is off to them, because this isn't going to be an easy, soft, and fluffy time in your word. This is going to be a time of deep thought, deep contemplation, and I pray deep change in our life. Thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.